Whoever wins the New Hampshire presidential primary gets the state's delegates at the National Democratic Convention and, more importantly, a huge amount of attention and money. Day to Day's Mike Pesca wondered, what does New Hampshire get out of this, out of holding the first in the nation primary? What does New Hampshire get in return?
Let's start with money. The coffee shops of Manchester all have a picture on the wall of the time Paul Tsongas came in. That's got to be good for business. In broader economic terms, according to University of New Hampshire professor Andy Smith, it does add up.
There was an economic impact study done after the 2000 presidential primary, and the calculations out of that impact study were that close to $300, possibly as high as $400 million were generated in revenues to the state. Now, that sounds like a lot of money, but if you think about it, it's about the same as we get from our two NASCAR races that occur every year up here.
And driver Dale Jarrett doesn't solicit your opinions on health care when you're just about to tuck into an omelet. As far as the other kind of money, the kind the federal government just gives away, New Hampshire winds up getting relatively little total cash from Washington, says Chuck Weed, professor of political science at Keene State.
If you look at where we stand in terms of receiving federal dollars, it's 48th, 43rd. In other words, we're way down there. And a lot of it has to do with our own unwillingness to tax ourselves, which leads to matching funds.
It's a contrast to Iowa, where candidates crisscrossing the state tend to notice all the corn. Any potential president who wants to do well in the Iowa caucuses has to pledge support for ethanol subsidies or agribusiness. But in New Hampshire, there's not one dominant business eligible for federal funding. But average New Hampshireites do get something out of their standing as the first state to hold a primary. Karen Gray attended a John Kerry event last night, where she told the candidate about her struggle paying for prescription drugs. What Gray got, apart from the answer she wanted, was a sense that she was involved in the civic process.
If candidates didn't come here, do you think that your complaint, your issue would have a way to be heard?
No. I don't think so, because this is the first time I've got to express an opinion in my whole life.
But just if by luck you had lived in Maine and there'd be no Maine primary no one really cares about, you feel that your issue maybe couldn't be as addressed as directly as it is because you're a New Hampshire voter?
In a sense, yeah. But how does Maine get to express their opinions? I don't know.
And the benefit to New Hampshire goes far beyond presidential politics. New Hampshire has an unbelievably high sense of civic participation. It routinely leads the nation in voter turnout. Keene State's Chuck Weed, who, by the way, is also a state legislator, puts it this way.
I've heard people try to give explanations about why New Hampshire is a good place. That, for instance, there are 400 members of the legislature, 24 members of the Senate. There are two-year terms for every state office. And so that, you know, elections happen often around here, and people are used to them.
New Hampshire's bumper crop, civic participation, is a little harder to ship across state lines than Iowa's corn. But New Hampshire does offer a lesson to any place looking to reverse the trend of voter apathy. If Karen Gray, who asked Kerry about prescriptions, is an indication, the average voter here is convinced that his or her voice gets heard, because it does. For Day to Day, I'm Mike Pesca.